Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, FFA. Yeah. That is awesome, because whenever I get before the youth, whenever I get before you guys, I get giddy, all right? I get excited because I speak before a lot of groups of older people, not to call out any age groups, okay? But when I get before the youth, I know that you guys are going to get excited, right? That's awesome. That's awesome. I got to tell you the truth. I was in the back there, and I was doing the robot, you know, when we were playing a little bit of that Jackson 5 music. I was getting in the groove, and it's just excited for you to be here this morning. A lot of people, they call my story the curious case of Jason Brown, because a lot of people, they want to know, why would a successful professional athlete in the NFL, why on God's green earth would he give up millions of dollars? Would he give up a successful career, fortune and fame, for a lifestyle that's much more humbling? And the background of that story is really the theme to you all's conference, and that is transform. Now, in any transformation, there's a catalyst, okay? There's a catalyst that actually pierced my heart and sparked that transformation. And within me, it came from a very sad and dark place. And I'm going to share that with you guys this morning. Before, when I was about you all's age, 17 years old, I had just earned a scholarship to play football for the University of North Carolina. And I was full of pride. My ego was through the roof, okay? And nobody could tell me anything. I was a spoiled brat, okay? Now, my older brother, who is the most awesome big brother in the world, 7 years older than me, he said, Jason, you need to take humility in your high position, okay? He said, you need to take humility, even though, you know, I know you think you're hot stuff. And I said, yeah, whatever. He said, look, Jason, really, like, humble yourself. He said, I'm your big brother. I'm always going to be bigger than you. I'm always going to be faster than you. And I'm always going to be stronger than you. And I said, okay, well, big brother, we're going to have to put that to the test. Now, this was Sunday after church. We had on our Sunday's best, and we challenged each other to a foot race. And let me tell you what, after that race, it wasn't even close, okay? Like, he spanked me really good. And afterwards, like a good big brother would do, he came back to me. He said, Jason, like I said before, you need to humble yourself. I'm your big brother. I'm always going to be bigger than you, faster than you, and stronger than you, okay? Now, being the spoiled brat that I was, I said something that was really hurtful, because my older brother, he was in his early 20s. He was really trying to find himself in life at the time. And you know what I said to him? I said, well, I earned a scholarship to play for the University of North Carolina. Like, what are you doing with your life that's so great? What are you doing with your life that's so awesome? And for someone to have such a witty comebacks, he was silent. He didn't have anything to say. And my older sister, she was there at the moment. She said, Jason, that wasn't nice. You need to apologize to him. Like, that wasn't nice at all. You're a butthole. Excuse my French, but yes, that was a bad word. But my sister said, just Jason, you're a b-hole. Now, a couple of months later, my older brother, he was working out. He was getting in shape. And we were like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? And he said, you know what? I'm going to join the army. I'm going to dedicate and devote my life to service, which is the most awesome thing that anybody could ever do. The most awesome thing. All right? And now, he was stationed in Germany for a little while, and then Iraq and Afghanistan came a calling, and then he went to serve our country in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, I wanted to play football for the University of North Carolina, and it was the season before my junior season, and I was complaining to my mother that our football team wasn't doing that great, okay? And if there's any shoulder that we can cry on mama's shoulder, right? We can tell mama everything that's going on, and mama's going to make us feel just fine, right? So I'm telling my mom, Mom, we're not going to win any games. All the guys are selfish, right? Like me, pointing out, saying that everybody else is selfish, right? Really, I was the only one that was selfish. And I went on this rant for about 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden, I was looking for a response from my mother, and she didn't say anything. And then all of a sudden, she lashed out at me. She said, Jason, you need to shut up. You need to shut up. And I'm like, whoa, Mom, like, what's going on here? She said, Jason, nothing of what you're going through right now can compare to what your brother is going through serving our country over in Afghanistan. Guys, I gotta let you know right now, I would have rather my mother taken her belt off and give me a good lashing, because the words that she had just shared with me, they convicted me to my heart. They convicted me to my soul. Even more so that on September 20th of 2003, just a month after I had that conversation with my mother, we received the dreadful knock at the door and the dreadful phone call that my older brother, Lunsford Bernard Brown II, was just slain serving our country in Afghanistan. I gotta tell you what, I was broken, okay? It's a fact of life, guys, but it's something that it'll still blindside you. The fact of life is that we're all gonna lose loved ones, okay? We're all gonna lose loved ones at some point in time. But the thing is, how we react to that tragedy, how we recover from that tragedy, and how we are going to serve their memory, and how we are gonna serve their legacy. And I knew that my brother cared so much for football. And I said, you know what? I'm never going to make any more excuses in life. I'm never going to complain. I'm never going to have pity on myself ever again. And at that moment, I said, I'm going to be the best football player that I can be. And that is exactly what I did. I went out on the field and I dominated, okay? Dominated. If someone built a brick wall and my coach told me to come knock down that brick wall better be, he better watch out. I'm letting you know right now, better watch out. I was drafted by the Baltimore Ravens, played out an awesome contract there for 4 years, and then I was called as a free agent to the St. Louis Rams. I earned the highest contract of a center playing on the offensive line at the time. Millions of dollars, guys. And I was literally working myself all the way up to the top. And then came a day that I knew was going to come, but it still blindsided me. I woke up in the morning, I looked in the mirror, and it was my birthday. I had turned 27 years old. I had turned 27 years old, the same age that my brother was when he was slain in Afghanistan. And of course, I began to measure his lifestyle and everything that he had accomplished, and my life and everything that I had accomplished. He wore a size 14 shoe. I wear a size 16 shoe, guys, okay? But guess what? When I did the comparison, I couldn't feel his shoes. And when I looked in the mirror, a lot of people say that myself and my brother, we look alike. And I saw him looking back in the mirror at me. And you know what he said to me? Jason, what are you doing with your life? That's so great. The same thing that spoiled, prideful kid, that snotty-nosed kid, 17 years old, said to his older brother that sparked the most awesome and beautiful change in him, that awesome transformation that said, I'm going to dedicate my life towards service. Looking back at me in the face, saying, Jason, what are you doing with your life? That's so great. And I honestly couldn't answer that question. Making millions of dollars, living a life of fame, I was living the American dream. But at the same time, I was leaving behind all of the Americans. And I began soul searching, guys. At 27 years old, I was going through a midlife crisis, okay? And I began to pray. I began to talk to my wife and my family. And I said, God, I know that there's more to me than just football. I know that you have more for me and my life than just making money and being self-serving. And I said, God, what would you have me do more than anything else in the world? What would you have me do? And you know what he told me? Jason, I want you to be a farmer. And I'm like, whoa, okay? Because I've got to be honest, guys. I've got to be honest. I wasn't ready for that answer. I really wasn't ready for that answer. Me, I thought in my retirement, I was going to be carrying around a briefcase, and I was going to be doing some awesome motivational speaking like I'm doing right now. And God said, yeah, that's fine, but you're going to be working in a field. You worked on a football field. You are working in the trenches, and now you're going to be working on a farm field. And you're still going to be working in the trenches. And God shared with me that he wanted me to feed his people, to literally feed his people. And me still being a little bit selfish at the time, I said, God, well, you know, we're in America. Like, there's nobody starving, right? Like, there's food everywhere. We're surrounded by farms and agriculture. And he said, Jason, open your eyes. I want you to take a closer look. And when I searched, guys, I saw that there were many food insecure families all around us. I saw that there were food deserts all throughout the United States. I saw that even though where I grew up in North Carolina, I grew up in a town that was surrounded by agriculture, but yet people were going. North Carolina is a big tobacco state, but guess what? You can't take those awesome leafy greens of tobacco and put some ranch dressing on them and eat yourself a good salad at night, all right? So I said, okay, you want us to grow food? God, we're going to rise to the challenge. We're going to do it. And my wife and I, we said, we're going to move back to North Carolina, and whatever land you bless us with, we're going to name it First Fruits Farm, and we're going to donate the first fruits of every harvest to serve our local communities, of every harvest. But now, here comes the hiccup, because I still didn't know a thing about farming. So one of the first places that I began to look was, I looked online and I looked at YouTube, all right? So I typed in a video on YouTube and I said, how to farm, all right? So I'm looking at YouTube videos, and I shouldn't have said that in an interview a couple of years ago, because now everybody, when they see that, they're laughing at me like, really? Like, Jason, you watch YouTube? I'm like, yeah. Like, you guys watch videos as well. But now I'm learning that, yes, I'm being in touch with local 4-H groups, local FFA groups. I'm getting in touch. That's right. I'm getting in touch with our ag extension offices. We have great schools all around us to help us to accomplish our goals. And in 2014, we said, okay, we're going to plant a crop of sweet potatoes. And we chose sweet potatoes because North Carolina, where are my North Carolinians at? North Carolinians, right here in the house. Because the sweet potato capital of the world is in North Carolina, okay? And it makes the most awesome donation crop because the sweet potato is resilient, is drought resistant, is easily harvested. It could be stored for more than 6 to 8 months. So it just made perfect sense. So I set aside 5 acres and I said, well, it's still just me and my family. Like, I don't know exactly, you know, how we're going to harvest all of that food, because 5 acres of sweet potatoes can yield more than 100,000 pounds. And I said, God, it's just me and my family. And you know what he said? Just like the field of dreams, if you plant it, they will come. And I said, really? If we plant it, they will. Who's going to come? Like, I have no idea who's going to come. Just step out on faith, Jason. Just plant the field. And as soon as we planted the field, we got a phone call from the Society of St. Andrew. Now, if you don't know anything about the Society of St. Andrew, they are a network of gleaners. Network of gleaners all around this country. And they called us up and they said, Jason, we hear you're trying to grow some food and you want to donate that food. Well, we have thousands of volunteers that are at our disposal that we can send to the farm. And I'm like, wow, you said they would come, and they sure did. We had more than 500 volunteers come out to the farm, and they made sure every single one of those potatoes was out of that field. All right? That was awesome, guys. That was so awesome. Because I know a lot of people, they look at me and they say, Jason, like, thank you so much for what you're doing. I'm just one man. You can look around the room right now and you can see that there is strength in numbers. There is strength in numbers. And every single one of those volunteers, you know what they said to me? They said, Jason, thank you so much for allowing us to come out to your farm and help in this project. And I said, no, nay, nay, thank you. Like, I thank every single one of you. Now, here's the most humbling thing, guys. The most humbling thing is that we just grow the food and we make sure it gets to the food banks, church pantries, homeless shelters. We really don't get a chance to see the distribution side of the food and see all of the families that the food reaches and the people that it impacts. But guess what? I might be walking through town, or I might be walking through Walmart, Wally World, and a perfect stranger will come up to me and give me a big hug and say, thank you, Jason Brown. And I'm like, whoa, like, I don't even know you. And they're like, I know you don't know me, but my family was going through a hard time last year. And we received some of the sweet potatoes from your harvest. And I got to let you know that it made all the difference in helping my family get through that hard time. Thank you so much. And guys, it doesn't boost my pride. It even makes me even more so humble and thankful that what I'm doing is able to make an impact in somebody's life. Sharing love with our fellow neighbors, sharing love with the community. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said it best, that anyone can be great because we can all serve. We can all serve and achieve greatness at the same time. It's such a humbling experience. And to tell you the truth, I've never had anyone come up to me after a football game and say, Jason, thank you so much for that awesome victory, or thank you so much for beating this other team. No, because there's a difference in what I was doing before. I was entertaining people before. Now I am helping and I'm serving those in my community. Just earlier, I met an awesome group of young ladies that they harvested more than 300,000 pounds of food to be distributed in Oregon. It's called Food for Everyone. Where are my Oregon people at? Food? Oh, Lord. Food for Everyone. That's right. And I make the same challenge to every single one of you. Don't just look at agriculture as an awesome opportunity. There's awesome careers. There's awesome, you know, potential to earn money for your families. But never forget why we grow food. It's to serve those in our communities. It's the food that we eat. It comes from farms. And I challenge every single one of you that if we can all just do a little bit at our schools, if we can start just a small garden plot, we can make sure that we can fight this war on hunger. We can end hunger. Every single one of you, you are the leaders of our future. We can do this together. I look at some of the statistics of you know, the average age of the farmer being 59 years old. Aren't you guys tired of hearing that statistic, right? Guess what? Well, I'm trying to do my part, okay? I'm 33 years old, and I'm trying to do my part. Now, every single one of you, you're lowering that number down by a lot, all right? And you are the leaders of our future. Our whole country is counting on every single one of you. How awesome is that? You have the most potential to do the most good. And one thing that I love to do is I love to bring the excitement of sports, the excitement of athletics, and the competitiveness to the farm field. It's time to get rid of that negative stereotype that, oh, farming, that's not cool. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay? Yes, it is. Because eating good is cool as well, okay? All right? Not only do we have sweet potatoes, but we have, oh, well, we have a Mr. Pigglesworth. I wish that my children never named him, because this winter, okay, he's going to be turned into some awesome, tasty bacon. All right? All right? Like, all of those awesome animals, guys, like, we have so much potential to do so much good, and I'm so encouraged, and I'm so inspired by every single one of you, and I'm so thankful. And if you just please, you know, just look at my story, check out our website, wisdomforlife.org. Something that I want everyone to do as well is my Twitter handle is Wise Farmer Brown, and up there it says, never stop giving, never stop loving, never stop growing. I want everyone to get on your social media, and I want you to repeat that phrase, never stop giving, never stop loving, never stop growing, because we can all get there together. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Brown, thank you for taking time to join us this morning. We are proud to have someone like you as a supporter of the National FFA organization in the agriculture industry. Through your actions, it is obvious that you live to serve and you work hard to transform purpose into action. Thanks for sharing with us your message this morning. Let's show our appreciation one more time for Mr. Jason Brown. Thank you.